Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Beasley switches it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
As always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to John and his firm. John's going to be very interested tomorrow with Chelsea taking Real Madrid on. Can we get an American player in the Champions League final? Well, Christian Pulisic has that opportunity. And, of course, Manchester City is there. Zach Steffen is on that roster, so he will go to the Champions League final after City today make an easy mincemeat out of PSG, who imploded mentally in that one. So a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They are personal injury attorneys, and they help to get this show on the air. Aaron Raybould continues to plow on. He's got to put up with me now for the next 2 hours, but does a tremendous job. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Doing okay. A nice segment there with Fred and AJ there. I always appreciate them bringing us on and talking a few soccer topics. Good stuff.
Well, yeah, so, EPL's been kind of a worldwide sports headline lately. First Super League stuff, and now Manchester United fans going complete bonkers, I guess is the right word.
Yeah, I think what people have to remember, this is 16 years of frustration that has really built up. So as much as it seems like it's simply the Super League, I think the Super League was the detonator for all this. And I'm all for a civil protest. This is your right. But I think when you break into a stadium and you start going on the hallowed grounds of a stadium with that George Best did magic in, and Bobby Charlton, Sir Matt Busby, Alex Ferguson, on and on we go. That's over the top. You got to draw the line somewhere. That's where you got to draw the line. And those people that went in the stadium, they're not supporters. They're just people that are trying to take videos of themselves and do a little bit of damage. So not for that. I am for the good protest, though. And I think those that went in the stadium and went on the sacred grounds, they probably took away from the real protest that was going on against the Glazer family, who have been nightmare owners for Manchester United. Well, there you go. All right, so a couple of things here. I just want to give a good shout out to FM Bar and Kitchen. They're going to be one of the new sponsors of the show. FM Bar and Kitchen is near Washington and Shepherd. Now, this is one of my go-tos. And the reason it's a go-to for me, FM Bar and Kitchen, is great craft cocktails, great craft beer, but also great food. It's not one or the other. It's a good casual environment. You see every type of person there. The patio's open. You can bring your dog there. They do a great brunch. They have a steak night. It's a great spot, FM Bar and Kitchen. I go over there because I know I can get some great food, healthy food. It's really reasonably priced, too, as far as I'm concerned. But you can also get a craft cocktail. So you're going to get a cocktail with the best ingredients. I don't drink a lot of them, but when I drink one, it's got to be with the best. So a big thank you to FM Bar and Kitchen and Jason. Cactus Music now, I'm giving them a shout out because they're now sponsoring our Burning Topics, which you can find on Twitter. We did one on this whole protest at Manchester United. And we're over 600 views right now, so that's rolling good. And then, this is big news, Aaron. ESPN 97.5, Soccer Matters, home for the Euros, is going to be Hugh O'Connor's at 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. We're going to do four shows on a Tuesday night out there. We're going to give away jerseys. We're going to do raffles for jerseys. Lots of giveaways, all leading up to the Euros, which will be played. So four straight shows. I'm going to be like the house band out there. It's pretty cool. Again, it's our good friends Peter and Dave over at Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway. It's also the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. All right, let's get your phone calls in tonight. 713-780-3776. Manchester City 2-0 winners over PSG. PSG implodes. It's 4-1 on aggregate. Today they get two goals from Riyad Mahrez. One is an exceptionally beautiful counterattack. Manchester City, they get the winner of Chelsea and Real Madrid. Can we run that sound on the goal calls, Aaron? Because these were dramatic goals, yeah, for City in this one. And they just, after they scored the first goal, it just looked like, I mean, PSG may have quit in this one, to be honest.
Start of the semi-final in snow. There's a classic Ederson pass. Zinchenko was aware of it. Zinchenko can pull it back. Kevin De Bruyne is onto it. And there goes Mahrez! Massive breakthrough moment for Manchester City. Clear daylight for Pep.
And that was a long ball from their goalkeeper, Ederson. So, you know, as much as we know the modern game now involves goalkeepers who can play with their feet, he initiated that attack. There was a little snow on the field in this. Kylian Mbappe was not able to play due to a calf injury for PSG. That was a big blow to them. And then they'll pick up a second one, and it's Mahrez again. This was an exceptional counterattack. I hope you get to see this video, and I need to post it at Facebook Soccer Matters.
To the Parisian half, and Foden can drive into it, and De Bruyne can receive, and Foden will play it across, and Mahrez will score, and Manchester City will start to pack their bags for Istanbul.
713-780-3776. City the favorites to win the Champions League under Pep Guardiola. Phil Foden was excellent today. They actually should have had another a third and a fourth goal in this. They had a ton of great chances. The closest PSG came was a Marquinhos header off the crossbar. Neymar was very, very frustrated. Di Maria, took a swing at a guy, stamps on a guy. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Kyle Walker. I'm not sure, but Di Maria got sent off, so they had to play with 10. They imploded. It was embarrassing. I felt really bad for Mauricio Pochettino with the behavior of some of his players. Andres Herrera, Pochettino is not accepting of that. I know that, but it's his first year at the club. We'll see what happens. What about this? Jose Mourinho is now the coach of Roma, which we call in Houston. You know what we call Roma? We call them Gulf States Toyota FC. And I don't say that disrespectfully. That's the Friedkin family in Houston owns Roma. And they have hired Jose Mourinho, who's going to come back to the Italian Serie A. You remember he did the triple with Inter Milan back in the day. He also burned a lot of bridges with a lot of people. Called out Carlo Ancelotti. It's going to be very interesting. Going to be very, very interesting to see kind of what will occur in Italy. But Italy's going to probably say, hey, this is a good get for us, brings us some attention. I heard a guy who was supposed to be an Italian expert on talking about Mourinho coming there. And he was all about, oh, he's a winner. He's a winner. You know, he's a winner. And I was waiting for the commentator to say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean he's a winner? He has not won. His last three clubs, it's been a nightmare for him. Chelsea, Real Madrid, and Spurs. He's basically left three straight clubs with disenchanted locker rooms, with people saying basically behind his back, hey, don't let the door hit you in the you-know-what on the way out. Yes, he won the Champions League in the past. I still think the modern game is going past him. Now, if they're going to defend in a low block and play a counterattacking style Roma in the future, and that's what they want to be their calling card, well, he may be their man. We'll see if they let him spend, because that's what he does. He's not a developer of players. He's a spender. So it's good to be king. Boy, you continue to get jobs. Pretty remarkable, I would say. All right, so the whole Manchester protest, I truly want to get your thoughts on this, because you know, there's a lot of mixed people who don't think there's any problem with fans breaking into a stadium, climbing on top of the goal, taking corner flags, throwing media equipment around. They looked very young to me. They looked drunk. It was a selfie moment. For me, as a historic, you know, I love the history of these teams. For me, it was very, very tough to watch that. Just looked like, you know, me. Let me take a selfie. Probably don't even know who Duncan Edwards or George Best are. And they're in there. In our next segment, Tom Clare, the great author who grew up in Manchester, who I've gone over there with, he'll come on. You're going to be very interested in his thoughts on this. But I thought it was a disgrace, honestly. And you got to draw the line. The protest behind the fans, who isn't? I don't think the Glazers have respected the history. I don't think they've listened to the fan base. I don't think they know what their base wants. And most importantly, have repeatedly taken money out of the club. And they haven't paid down the debt. They continue to ingratiate the pockets of all their kids. I don't know. That twists me the wrong way, but I'm the football romanticist. I don't like all these investors that are now just seeing this as something to jump on, that don't give the necessary respect to the history, to the competition, which is why I watch the game. I don't watch the game for all the other stuff. I watch the game because I'm interested in the players. Their ability. When I watch today PSG and I watch Manchester City, do we sit back and do we ever look and say and realize how good these guys are? All right, basically there's three or four guys trying to play out of the back under pressure from four, five, and six at times, and they're sticking to their guns and they're playing in these spaces that are so small, so tight, and you have to be technically so good. Your brain has to be sharper than most. Your brain and your ability to take snapshots of quick moments, and these are things that happen with soccer players and athletes, that ability to see things and then take another snapshot and understand your surroundings. I think it's called scanning, but it's unbelievable to watch it today. And even PSG at times playing out of the back, they didn't refrain from that. And we're seeing that from teams. And I just sometimes I hope people understand how good the quality is, because it is pretty remarkable stuff. All right, so the protest was around the stadium near you know, the Holy Trinity statues and Sir Matt Busby. Like I said, I like the fan pushback on the owners. I like that. I can understand why fans are upset. It's different over there when your team's 143 years old. And the Glazers are out of sight, out of mind. They don't speak. They don't seem to listen to their base. And remember, like I said, they bought the club at the urging of Ed Woodward, who was deciding he wanted to get into, you know, assessing and buying players for the club. So it's years and years of pent-up frustration. I get it. Now, other clubs haven't had this problem. Chelsea fans just stopped the bus. It didn't get to the point where people stormed the stadium. And went inside. That's unacceptable for me. It's just a joyride for selfie and video takers. It's another self-indulgent expression. And like I said, they looked young. So that's what's happening there. I don't think you'll see the end of this. I think there's more. But yeah, the financials are unbelievable. I'm going to publish an article a little bit later on that takes you through the financials of the club. And it's pretty remarkable. It's very, very in-depth. It's an article that somebody has posted. And it's remarkable. Big shout out, as always, to our good friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. My good friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown, well, you know, they've gotten me into sedans over the years. I've leased, I've bought, Right now I'm in a lease car because I'm not the handy guy who can get under the hood of the car. I wish I was, but I'm not. And you go down there, you see Steven, you see Justin, you get yourself in a BMW. They're great supporters of soccer. They've done it for a long time now, and we appreciate everything that Advantage BMW does. And they'll take you through the whole thing. They'll take you through sales. They'll take you through service, right through the whole process into finance. It can be done very easy. You can get in a sedan. You can get in an X5. It's AdvantageBMWHouston.com. So we got Todd Ramos on ahead of the Dynamo and FC Dallas. And by the way, there is going to be a Copa Tejas in Texas now. Dynamo will play FC Dallas this weekend. AJ reminded us that we will have the call, Eddie Robinson and myself, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 this weekend. We'll do an extended pregame show. We'll get you set up for the Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas. And it's your English call. So be ready for that this weekend. Hope you're going to tune in. I think from all indications, people are happy to have the English language call of the game. So it's good, and it's great. It'll be the second of six at our station, and we are the soccer station. We are the football station in Houston, Texas. There is no doubt about that, and we're bringing you the best coverage, self-proclaimed. So there you go. Looking forward to that this weekend. So there'll be a lot of prep in the next couple of days around that. We'll have Todd Ramos on tonight, as I mentioned. We will have Brian Lee, Rice University women's team, doing some special things. Best ever run in the NCAA tournament. It's under Brian Lee. He used to be the coach at in the SEC at LSU. I've known Brian for a number of years. He'll be on tonight ahead of their game against Virginia tomorrow night. There are some watch parties, so it's a good moment for Rice Athletics. And then Dwayne De Rosario. He's got the book out called My Story. You're going to find some things out about Dwayne you don't know. And we're going to play part one of that tonight. Part two later on, Dwayne and a potential book tour coming to Houston. One of the top three players in the history of Major League Soccer, no question. Never got the love he deserved, in my opinion. Top three Major League Soccer, greatest goal scorer in the history of Canada. Fred Fowler loves that. And has led the way for the likes of Alphonso Davies up there. All right, we're going to take a break. Break is brought to you by our good friends at FM Kitchen. FM Bar and Kitchen, Shepherd and Washington. Get over there, get a good craft cocktail, hang out on the patio. You go inside, they got a number of TVs, great place to watch games. It is FM Bar and Kitchen. Go over there. A good friend, Jason, running the show there. We'll take a break. It's a John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm break.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, everybody has seen the goings-on at Manchester United this past weekend with the protests around the Glazers. Our next guest is going to take us into that. I just want to get a quick word in here, though, for our great friends at John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, you might work in a refinery. John and his firm will take care of you 24/7, nights and weekends. All you have to do is call 713-322-HURT. They're going to bring you a personalized approach, and you'll get that representation that you need with the Daspit Law Firm. I will not tell my next guest that John Daspit is a fan of Chelsea, but he may have just heard me say that. It is DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And I get to bring on now, first and foremost, a great friend. He is the author of Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, and Deepest Red. He is an incredible historian. He has been around Manchester United since a young man. He is Tom Clary. He joins us now. Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. It's good to see you.
You're going to be about good until I ask you the next question, because I can't get you, with your history with this club, could have felt good about fans breaking into Old Trafford and going on to sacred grounds.
Not at all, Glenn. I was absolutely, you know, it's abhorrent, really. Don't get me wrong. I'm as anti-Glazer as anybody else. The protest was initially peaceful and they had every right to protest. But the actual damage that was done, forcing entry into the ground, the way that they conducted themselves once they were inside the ground, the injuries to the policemen and to some of the stewards, it's totally abhorrent and unacceptable. The thing with United is that this wasn't just a protest about the ESL, the European Super League. This was 16 years of pent-up emotions about the ownership of the club and the lack of direction and the lack of investment and the financial raping of it. But to do what they did, it was a minority of about 500 fans. And to do what they did was totally inexcusable, and you know, it's not appropriate at all.
And I can only wonder, you, Tom, with your history, and again, for full disclosure here, I went over, Tom had a testimonial dinner in the hotel right by the stadium. You saw some of the action around that. But I learned so much about Manchester United with you. But I did realize when I was in the stadium and you and me took in the Villa game that this was a stadium that is decaying. And this is part of the problem, is reinvesting it in infrastructure, paying down debt, the competitive side, all these other things that fans would like to see happen with the Glazers.
Exactly. And that is the crux of it. Since 2005, United have had an albatross around the neck of some more than £500 million. But not only that, the money that's gone out of the club, you know, in interest payments, in foreign currency exchanges, in dividends, and also, you know, the share issues where there's two tiers of shares, where the Glazers own the tier one shares, which have the voting rights, and anybody else with tier two shares doesn't have a say in the club. I mean, and it's the lack of any communication whatsoever between the club ownership and the fans. They've been silent, and they've treated the Manchester United fans with utter contempt and disdain. And this is what's led to the frustration. You can understand, I mean, everybody has a right to protest, you know, it's a civil right, and long may that continue. But to transgress that and to do the damage and to do the trespass, I mean, it's criminal actions, Glenn, and you can't get away from that. And unfortunately, you know, those actions have consequences, and the people who did this on Sunday, you know, they will face those consequences, as the club and the police have said this morning.
He's the noted author. He's Tom Clare, Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. I recommend you pick up his books. You can get them on Amazon and all kinds of places. Deepest Red, if you really want to hear the in-depth history, and you don't get the personal tour like I got, then you pick up one of Tom's books. They're absolutely detailed beyond belief, and the man has a memory that is absolutely remarkable. Okay, so yeah, I get the pent-up frustration. You know, I'm looking at those people inside the stadium. I'm looking at very young kids, obviously, probably alcohol-fueled. Yeah. I'm tired of these events being co-opted by people for their own use. I'm thinking of you talking about Duncan Edwards, Best, Law, Charlton. I'm looking at the Holy Trinity surrounded by fans. And it does make your stomach turn a bit, especially if you've gone over there and visited it and understand in an even deeper way how big it is. You hit on something very important, though. Blazers have missed on connecting and listening to their base. And to stay out of sight, out of mind that long is just pretty remarkable to me. I don't think people understand, Tom, that Ed Woodward was the man who helped broker the deal for the Glazers to buy United, and then he was instituted in to run the club.
Yeah, you know, that was the thing. Woodward was the Glazers' man. He brokered the deal that brought them to Old Trafford. Mind you, it cost them a lot of money, more money than what really they should have paid, because the club was overvalued when they bought the club. But, you know, he came on board when David Gill retired, just before Sir Alex Ferguson. You know, and a lot of people will say to me, but, you know, look how successful Manchester United have been since the Glazers arrived. Manchester United were far more successful before the Glazers arrived. The success came from Sir Alex Ferguson. That's where the success came from, in spite of the Glazers. And we've seen since Sir Alex retired just which way the club's gone. You hit on a point there about the infrastructure around the club. I mean, it's not these days, even in the top 20 stadiums in the world, Glenn, and it is decaying. You can't even get a decent Wi-Fi signal in the stadium. The roofs are leaking. You know, they have spent in 16 years less than 100 million on infrastructure around the ground. You know, and it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You know, the club is slipping behind.
Tom, you mentioned Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
And some of the former players, have they spoken out? And if they haven't, why haven't they spoken out more? Because their words carry a huge weight with a fan base.
Exactly. I watched some interviews yesterday and on Sunday, obviously. Gary Neville has been really outspoken. Roy Keane was outspoken. Even Jamie Carragher from Liverpool. The question I ask is, you know, why didn't they speak out 16 years ago? Yeah. That's the question I ask. It's all right, you know, coming on board now and saying, you know, United fans, you know, they have this right and that and the other. These ex-players, you know, were silent for 16 years. At the time of the leverage takeover, I mean, Sir Alex said that he kept quiet because he had jobs to protect. And I understand that. I understand that totally. You know, but what has happened since? And of course, the outlook of the club has become a commercial juggernaut, nothing more, nothing less. And that's due to that's due to Ed Woodward. And I mean, they've been amazingly successful commercially, but they're lagging on other sides of it. You know, Woodward's outlook on it was that United didn't have to be successful on the field to be sustainable financially. Well, that's an awful statement to make.
It's an investor statement.
Yeah, at the end of the day, when the basic thing is that Manchester United is a football club. Nothing more, nothing less. But the way the club is structured now, I mean, it's not even a British company anymore. It's registered in the Cayman Islands. The club's financial affairs, they're in Delaware, where you can't get any transparency at all. You know, everything. Now, what's gone out of the club? $1.5 million or billion in interest payments, in dividends, in share issues and things. All that should have been reinvested in the club. And the club would have been greater for it. But each year we have these six siblings, five boys and one girl, who take these dividends out, who are quite happy just to take the money out of the club, not reinvest. And it's this that gets under the fans' skin. You know, I mean, they're not football people. It's as simple as that. And that's the problem with the game today. A lot of these owners today in the Premiership are not football people. They're there, you know, simply and purely because there's rich pickings to be had.
Tom Clare joining us. He's the author of Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes' Deepest Red. He has been honored with a testimonial dinner right across from the stadium in the football hotel for all his incredible work for Manchester United. I call him a gatekeeper. He's a historian. He's a number of different things. What does the future hold? I mean, do you think this will stop? I don't think this is going to stop. And the question is, are they going to still try to disrupt games? Let's hope not.
Well, this is the worry about it, Glenn. I know for a fact that there are even more protests planned. The supporters trust has told me, you know, that there's still stuff in the pipeline. What happened on Sunday, my thing with it is, what did they hope to achieve? By breaking into the stadium, the only people that they hurt was their own people, the players, the club. What did they think they could achieve, you know, by doing what they did? Yeah, the game got cancelled at the finish. But who's to the detriment of that? Is it not the players? Is it not the manager? you know, all week preparing for such a high-profile game. You know, and you've got a feel for them. The business down at the Lowry Hotel where they prevented the coaches from leaving. I mean, it's just nonsensical, Glenn. I don't see what the aim is, what they hope to achieve.
Tom, let me break in here real fast because I know you and I have had the same experience here. Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of people who have absolutely no problem that fans broke into the stadium and that's okay and that's just part of the protest. And I disagree wholeheartedly.
Well, so do I. And to me, I mean, there's a policeman this morning that's in danger of losing an eye. There's one with a fractured cheekbone, one who's had his face slashed. Is that acceptable? No, not at all, not in my eyes. And people like this, I'll be honest with you, the police have said this morning that they will go after these people. And for me, you know, actions have consequences. And the consequence for me is that these people should be banned for life, that they should never be allowed inside Old Trafford again.
Club statement. What has the club came out and said, Tom?
Well, they're the same. They said, you know, people have a right to protest. They're happy about peaceful protest, but what happened on Sunday transgressed the lines, you know, and they will not stand for it. And you know, for me, I've got to give my support to it.
Yep. I know you've spoken about the Glazers for years.
Yeah.
Not reinvesting in the club. You've been very, 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 very open about that. Yeah. I just don't understand the lack of understanding of the base of the Manchester United fan and the history. You don't have to know the history. You only have to know that it means a lot to the fans, and that's what's stunning to me.
Yeah, the thing that saddens me more than anything, Glenn, is that the fan base gets fragmented again. You get those for, those against, and you're not going to achieve anything when you've got a fragmented fan base like that. You looked at the Liverpool fans, the Tottenham fans, the Chelsea fans, the Arsenal fans when they protested. They did it in the right way. There was none of this nonsense, you know. And when I see young kids of 13 and 14 sitting on top of the goalpost trying to bring the nets down, when I see them, you know, messing about in the Stretford End, kicking balls about and everything, what in the hell do they think they're doing? What do they think they're trying to achieve? You know what I mean? But again, it's like you say, I mean, some of the pundits, Gary Neville had no problem with it.
Yep. Tom, listen, we're up on a hard break. Thank you so much for this. Getting your insight is incredibly valuable as somebody who grew up in Manchester and watching the Busby Babes. You are one of the greatest, and you're a great friend of mine, and I thank you for coming on tonight.
My pleasure, Glenn. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Yeah,
thank you for coming on, Tom. Quick word here for FM Kitchen. Just remind you that their cocktails over there are the best. The food is excellent. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. It's right near Shepherd in Washington. It's a great spot. I go over there. I've watched a lot of games there as well. They have a huge patio. But if you want the combination of really, really good food with craft cocktails, great cold beer, this is the place to go. I'll tell you, outside is great. I bring my dog there. I sit on the picnic bench, and a lot of space, a lot of room. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. We thank them for being sponsors of this show. All right, we'll take a break. We have more to come. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
The 55th minute. Baird will get the goal. Latif Blessing will get the assist. Two players collide. They're down. The Dynamo on the attack. Oh, it's all found it! Tyler Pasher has answered the question. Could he combine goals and assists? Yes, he has. The Dynamo strike back in a moment's notice. It is 1-1 here at BBVA Stadium. What a response from the Houston Dynamo. They will get the draw with LAFC this past weekend. That was the first of six broadcasts on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and had a great time calling that game with Eddie Robinson. We will be back at it again this weekend as the Dynamo will be up in Dallas taking on FC Dallas, who are coming off a big win over the Portland Timbers. So we'll get to that. Quick reminder here, the show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for promoting the sport of soccer, getting us on the air. They've been longtime supporters of this program, and quite frankly, me personally, which I appreciate tremendously. 713-322-HURT. That's how you call the Daspit Law Firm. Look, if you need a personalized approach, you need an attorney. You get in an accident. Nobody wants to. These are stressful times when you do. Could be car, boat. You might work in a refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. Doesn't matter. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm are going to represent you. They're getting soccer on the airwaves. And just remember that when you look at sponsors who are out there, are they covering the game that you love? So a big thank you to John and his firm. He'll be pulling for Chelsea tomorrow against Real Madrid. All right, real quick here before we bring on Eddie Robinson. This was pretty funny. Pablo Perez. So there was a drone that came down towards the field during a Newell's Old Boys and Rosario Central match. It had a banner on it that said something negative about Newell's Old Boys. One of the Rosario Central players, because it was so low to the ground, grabbed the banner and brought it over the end line, and it kind of just dropped down. So Pablo Perez becomes one of my greatest heroes because what he does, he's on Newell's Old Boys. He goes over there, and he basically stamps on it and then throws the ball on it and is now a drone killer. So it was pretty funny, but, you know, that's how you take a drone out. Eddie Robinson joins me now. What do you think of that story, Eddie?
Glenn, I retweeted that video today. I wish I could have retweeted it 100 times. I absolutely loved it. That drone shouldn't have been that close to the field. It shouldn't have been hanging down, and I'm glad the players did what they did. That was awesome.
Drones are creepy. You know, I've been on my – I have a roof – you know, top area and a hang up out up there. It's like a little, it's different when you get a little bit higher up, obviously. And, you know, I looked up one day and there's a freaking drone over me and it's like 20 feet over me. And I'm like, that is really weird. And I, you know, I wish I could have knocked the thing out of the sky. It's just intrusive. It's strange. And I don't know sometimes the people flying these things are a bit strange. I don't know. Anyway.
Just go to your local sports store, get a pellet rifle and take it out. No problem.
Well, this guy, Pablo Perez, he did a great job because he just put the boot through it, and it was pretty funny. All right, let's talk about a couple of things today. I know you and I both watched the Manchester City PSG game. Manchester City looks extremely sharp.
Oh, I mean, my goodness. It's, you know, and then when you look at, you know, Sergio Aguero isn't starting, Raheem Sterling isn't starting, and they're still just really making a mockery of PSG. It's absolutely incredible. They're going to win the Premier League. They are. I'd be shocked if they don't win the Champions League. And we'll find out who they're going to play tomorrow: Real Madrid and Chelsea. It's going to be a tight game, but just the way that Pep Guardiola goes about inspiring his team, and even though players aren't playing, when they do get the opportunity, the desire and the attitude is absolutely incredible. I mean, everyone says he's the best manager in the world. He's the best that's ever been. And given what he's done and what he's doing, it's hard to argue that.
Yeah, and you know what really jumped out to me? First of all, they did contain Neymar, and they did contain Mbappe. Mbappe didn't play today, and listen, maybe that calf injury was bothering him in the first game. Mbappe did not have one shot on goal in the first game, which leads me to believe that the injury was there. That said, they defended him well. They played this game today until Aguero came on without a center forward, essentially, which is becoming a thing. They got two goals from Mahrez in the 11th and 63rd. Two very unique goals, Eddie. One from the long ball off of Ederson. The goalkeeper initiates the attack. Mahrez stuffs it in. And then in the 63rd, just a remarkable counterattack, which again, Mahrez was on the end of.
Well, I mean, we're seeing the evolution of the goalkeeper, where it used to just be, you know, 20 years ago, you got to be the best at stopping shots. Now you've got not only to be good at stopping shots, but you got to be good at your feet. You got to make the right decision when you're making a pass when the ball is at your feet, and that's what Ederson, that's what he does. I mean, it's pretty crazy how comfortable he is on the ball. And, you know, and you can go and you look at Manuel Neuer, you look at Alisson, you look at, you know, the best goalkeepers in the world, that how comfortable they are with just the ball at their feet. They're not just shot stoppers anymore. It's quite amazing. And then, again, when you look at Manchester City, it almost doesn't matter who's in that front six. They all understand their responsibilities and the combination play and the counterattacks that lead to the chances. And then how ruthless Manchester City is. When you give Riyad Mahrez that kind of chance, Kevin De Bruyne that kind of chance, and again, we talk about Gabriel Jesus, we talk about Raheem Sterling, all of these players, you put them in front of a goal, they don't miss.
No question about it. By the way, they beat Barcelona and Bayern Munich to get here, okay? I mean, that's what PSG did. So they just knocked PSG off 4-1 on aggregate. PSG eliminated Barcelona and Bayern Munich. My man of the match was a center back for Manchester City, believe it or not, Ruben Diaz. Outstanding. Guy looked like a leader, organizing things. Alongside John Stones, remember, there was some real question about them defensively and in the center back position in prior seasons. What a signing this kid has turned out to be, Ruben Diaz. He was exceptional. Blocks, clearances, and only 23, you know. And I think of myself at 23, and I'm going, look at the leadership this kid is providing.
Oh, it's incredible. And I think that if you go back and you look at the last, you know, 8 months, the growth in him has been tremendous. But you also have to think about the way that Pep Guardiola has encouraged John Stone. I mean, he was struggling. He was having a hard time. And now he's considered one of the top three or four center backs in the Premier League. And I think that credit really goes to Pep Guardiola about how he stuck with John Stone, how he's given him the confidence that he needs. And then, you know, Ruben Diaz, my goodness, just how far he's come, especially in a leadership role. I think a lot of credit has to go to Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, we're talking about Manchester City and defending. And, of course, when you have the ball, that's the best form of defense. But in transition, they've defended better. They dealt with Neymar. They got numbers around him. It was exceptional. Thought I read somewhere today it's the first European final in 51 years for Manchester City, so that's exciting. So we know where we're going to be tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're going to be watching Chelsea and Real Madrid. Eddie Robinson joining me. We'll have the call of Dynamo FC Dallas this weekend. So let's talk a little bit about the LAFC game. A couple of things that jumped out in this. After the LAFC goal, which Tab Ramos thought was offside, quick response in 2 minutes. They get a ball from Pico to Pasher. Pasher gets his goal. He's been an upstart in the first three games. I don't think he had the best first 45. The purpose of play seems to be crystallizing slowly for Tab Ramos. And I think we're realizing that the 60-minute player now is a part of the game of soccer now. I think your back four generally stays intact. Your goalkeeper does. You're holding midfielder. But with five substitutes now and three chances to make them, Eddie, it's the front runners that are getting switched out who are doing a lot of the running.
Well, and again, and I'll say what I said on Saturday. I think Tyler Pasher needs to be more consistent over 90 minutes. He has his moments, but he is extremely bright, extremely promising, gives, you know, Houston Dynamo fans everything they want to have as far as promise and looking forward to him being a great attacking player. But he's got to be more consistent. And then when you look at, you know, Maxi Urruti and Mimbo Rodriguez and that combination and how it's developing, hopefully it can go a little bit faster and go a little bit better. But it's funny because if you look at you know, how the Dynamo completely dominated the San Jose Earthquakes. The next week, San Jose Earthquakes dominated FC Dallas. The Dynamo got dominated by Portland in the second half. FC Dallas comes back and dominates Portland. It just kind of goes to show you what MLS is at the beginning of the season and how I think mental toughness is just going to come into it. And I think Todd Ramos is really going to put some pressure, at least internally, on his attacking players and tell them that they've got to be better, they've got to create more chances, and they've got to be better finishing the chances that they do create. Because the Dynamo could have won that game against LAFC, whether,
Absolutely.
You and I had a conversation today about whether it was offside or not. I thought it was. You don't want to, you know, you think it, you know, takes too long, this and that and the other, whatever. But the Dynamo had chances. They could have won that game. So,
you know what, Eddie? That was a winnable game. Todd Ramos has made that very, very clear.
Yeah.
And he is pushing people. So this is what we love. Right, you could come into this situation, set the bar low, and then overachieve. Right, if you cross that threshold, he's setting the bar higher. There is no doubt that he's pushing people to be better. I don't think it was a great game for Maxi Rudy. I don't think it was a great game for Memo Rodriguez.
Right.
I don't think the bench did enough in this game for the Houston Dynamo, quite frankly. But I love the fact
Agreed.
That Todd Ramos is raising the bar here, and this bar has not been raised in a long time in Houston. He's doing it, and he is the biggest asset right now.
His reaction, Glenn, right? Don't forget his reaction. As the whistle blew, the ball
fell
to his
feet.
He picked it up, and he slammed it on the ground. He was angry.
Yeah, I remember you said that to me. Right when the game ended, you say, man, did you see Tab Ramos? Yeah, 100%. And that was good observation, good eyes from you. I love this because I think there's a dose of this that's needed here. That kind of leadership, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing where it takes this group of players and what happens in the transfer window in the summer. Is there really change in the air here? I don't think there's any question. It's coming from the coach, his staff, and there's a buy-in right now from the players. FC Dallas this weekend, they made a boatload of changes. We didn't really get to talk too much about that, but we'll put some keys out during the week, and I look forward to calling that game with you, Eddie.
I am excited, Glenn. I can't wait to see you. You're so beautiful.
All right. That'll do it. Eddie Robinson, thank you, sir. It's a beautiful thing.
All right,
we have a great time calling the games. We're passionate about it. And, we will never lose that. I know that. So look forward to this weekend as we continue to prep for the Dynamo FC Dallas right here on ESPN 97.5. Eddie will be on the call of that. Eddie, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. So, good stuff there from Eddie Robinson. Even better stuff coming up was about me. Guess what's coming up? Head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Todd Ramos. You're going to hear it straight from the coach ahead of FC Dallas. Tomorrow, the semifinal, Chelsea-Real Madrid, 2 p.m. Central Time. You can catch it on 2DNA and Paramount. And as always, we thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, for their support of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And don't forget, Hugh O'Connors, they are going to be the official Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 home of the European Championships. We're going to be doing 4 live shows out there, and we're going to do a number of really cool giveaways, shirts, jerseys. On Tuesday nights, we're going to be the in-house soccer show. Pretty cool, right? All right, that'll do it. We'll take a break. Todd Ramos, head coach of the Houston Dynamo, is coming up. Wish I could stop,
switch up the ESPN 97.5.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, But we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.